Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. All right, well, welcome back to this series of the Book of Exodus. We are moving through the series, and this will take us toward the end of October, October 22nd. So it's a couple more weeks, actually, in this series. Now, today, we're looking at a story from Exodus chapter 32, and it is a story of the golden calf. Now, some of you listening will know this right away. You know this story. This is where Israel creates a golden calf, basically an idol to worship. They've been delivered. They've been brought out of slavery. They've been brought through the Red Sea. They've been, all the divine interventions. They've seen God do miracle after miracle. They've had food and water provided in the desert. And they get to the mountain of God, waiting on Moses. And again, they end up creating a golden, maybe bull calf to worship and say, this is the God that delivered us. Amazing. It's so crazy. They break commandments number one and two. Boom, like within days, weeks of agreeing that they're going to follow these things and ready to honor Yahweh. There will be no other gods before us except Yahweh. And there they are, just completely breaking these commandments. I was thinking about it. I guess it's as bad as waking up the morning after your honeymoon and finding that your wife's ex-boyfriend is sitting there at the breakfast table. And I was like, oh, what is going on? And it really is quite serious. And we want to take a look at this story, and you're going to see where we're going to go, especially in Moses's response to what happens here. But I want to get to the story itself. Exodus 32, first 14 verses. Now, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. It kind of shows you the lack of connection with Moses. You know, really, I mean, all that they've been through, and yet here they are, like, who's this guy? You know, whatever. It's insightful into the connection that's not there with Moses. Aaron answered them, Aaron, Moses' brother, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Here, this golden calf that I've made, this is your God that has brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. That second commandment said, you will have no other gods before me. And what they've done is exactly what they said they wouldn't do. They've created a god, small g, in the shape of a golden calf, maybe a young bull, and they put it right before, literally in front of the mountain of God. So God is on Sinai, and they've actually literally put a god in front of him and begun to worship him and said, this is the God that brought us up out of slavery in Egypt. It made me think of something someone said to me recently, just said, you know, they just had a great experience at a local hospital, and they're so much better, and the doctors and the staff, they were wonderful, and the healing and the renewed strength that they experienced going through the surgery and all of the treatment. But she said, but I want to make it clear to you and to me that I know who healed me. Thankful for the hospital, thankful for the doctors, thankful for all their skills and their knowledge, but I know who has healed me. I just want to give praise to the one to whom praise is due. Same kind of idea here. Then the Lord said to Moses, remember Moses is on the mountain, Mountain of Sinai, he's talking to God, they're having a conversation. God is giving Moses more commandments concerning how God, ironically, will actually live and dwell in the midst, right in the middle of his people, right? They have already said, you know, God is scary. God is too intimidating and threatening to us. We prefer that Moses, you go see God, you talk to him, then you bring whatever he has to say, bring him and bring that back to us. God, on the other hand, was saying, I want to live right in the middle of my people. And so God is giving Moses commandments and direction on how that's going to happen. He's on the mountain of God, listening, taking it all down. And then God says to Moses, go down because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone. We're going to come back to this verse. God says, leave me alone. Let me rest, in other words, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make of you, I will make you into a great nation. God's going to still keep his promise. He's just going to do it in a different way now. He said, okay, these people are just, we're not going to be able to do this. But Moses, I will keep my promise to Abraham, except I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to start all over again. And that's what he's offering here. Now, I want you also to notice that Moses, at this point, does not know what is happening on the valley floor. God knows, but Moses doesn't know. And yet, Moses begins to pray a particular kind of prayer called intercession. And that's what he does. He begins to intercede and mediate on behalf of these people, even though he doesn't actually know what they've done. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord is God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent. Do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make descendants, or I will make your descendants as numerous as the sky, and I will give your descendants all of this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Moses reminds God, your promise wasn't just to the one person, Abraham. You made a promise to Abraham, his son, his son's sons, and all of his descendants. These are the people that you're having trouble with today, and you made a promise to them, not just one person, but to them. Remember. And then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. These are a people in trouble. These are people in trouble. This is a major crisis. All right. It's maybe hard for us to understand. Maybe it's hard for us to put ourselves in that place. But I'm saying and sharing today that these people are in tremendous trouble. They have been disobedient. They have complained. They have never even entered into the covenant, made almost even attempt to do so. And they are just full on breaking the covenant right now. And all the consequences are about ready to come down upon them. They are a people in trouble. Why do we get in trouble? You know, it says later in the New Testament, particular Hebrews and 1 Corinthians, that the stories of this particular people group are here for us so that we can learn. We get into trouble. People we know and love and care about get themselves into trouble. Our friends, our families get themselves into trouble. Our community groups and our small group and even our churches can find themselves in trouble. Our nations can get themselves into a bad way, into trouble. We as a people, both as individuals and as communities and families, can get ourselves into trouble. Why does this happen? It happens because sometimes we just try to understand God, but don't. And we think to ourselves, as it was for them, you know, there's got to be easier ways to live than following God and being in a covenant with Him. Ways that are more familiar to us. Ways that are the old ways. The ways that our grandparents took. The ways that our ancestors took. That seems easier to me. Why all the fuss and the bother? Why all the mafan trying to follow God and be in a covenant with Him when we can do it just the way we've always done it? And we get ourselves into trouble. We get into trouble because we become impatient. And we get impatient waiting on God. And then we say, God's taking too long. I'm taking over. We become fearful and we get ourselves into trouble. We become afraid. And we get ourselves into trouble. We want a God that we can manage. And when we want a God that we can manage, we tend to get ourselves into trouble. We want a God that we can make in our own image. One that is like us. One that's not too big and not unpredictable. And for us, we reduce Him. We reduce our God until He's just like us. And then we can dismiss Him. All of these are reasons why we get into trouble. So if someone's in trouble, someone that you know is in trouble, someone that you love is in trouble, if your small group is in trouble, if your church is in trouble, if your family is in trouble, we want to often respond. We are concerned. So we want to respond. And when we want to respond, because we are Christians and because we're following Jesus, it comes to us that we should pray. Now, Moses responds by praying for them. Moses responds to this crisis, this news of crisis, that he will pray for his people. And it is a form of prayer called intercession. What Moses is doing is he is mediating on their behalf. Now, we have already heard about the people. We've already heard of what they have done and the trouble that they're in. But what about the other side of the mediation? Who is standing on the other side? It's God who is standing on the other side of mediation. Moses is standing there in the middle. But who is God and what is He like? Later in chapter 34, God will reveal Himself and speak of Himself. In fact, for the first time in the Bible, God will describe Himself in some detail. We read in chapter 34, verse 6, God speaking, the Lord, Yahweh, is compassionate and gracious God. He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses steps in to intercede for them, to mediate on behalf of this people who are in trouble. And listen to what God says. We read it already. Listen to God's first response. Leave me alone. Moses steps in to intercede and mediate on behalf of a people that he loves and is concerned about, greatly concerned. And so he steps in to pray and intercede. And God says, leave me alone and let me rest. Verse number 9, 32, chapter 32. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they're stiff-necked. I know these people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Sometimes the decision to intercede for someone else, sometimes the decision to mediate before God on behalf of someone who is in trouble, someone that we know, someone that we care about, a people group that we are ourselves a part of, is the first step, is the decision to do something. My family is in trouble. My marriage is in trouble. My children are in trouble. My country, my nation is in trouble. And the first thing that we must decide is that we are going to respond. We're going to do something about this. And we are going to pray and not let God rest. At the heart of intercession, at the heart of praying and mediating like Moses did, like we're talking about today, is this intention and this bold step to step into the arena and say, I am not going to let God rest or leave him alone because of my great concern for this person, this group, my family, my children, my nation, my church. It reminds me of a story that Jesus told, a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. It's a parable of the story of the persistent widow. And Jesus told about a widow who, by the way, widows had no legal rights and they had absolutely no political power and most often had no wealth and who was being greatly wronged. And so she goes to a judge to get some justice, basically. And he's going to have nothing to do with her. You know, he said, because she's not going to be able to help him. She's not going to be able to bribe him. She's got nothing. And yet she continues to persist. And Jesus notes the persistence of this widow who prays and prays and goes to the judge again and again and again. And Jesus says that this is the way that we should pray. Like this persistent widow, that we should pray and not give up. Come to the judge of all the earth and do not let him rest. God says to Moses, leave me alone. The first step in this kind of intercession is to, again, not walk away. Hey, these people are in trouble. Not my problem. My family's really going through a difficult time. I'm super busy. I can't really deal with that. You know, there's trouble near me and I am concerned and I will not walk away. God says he will withhold mercy. He says he's going to withhold his mercy. And yet, ironically, God has mercifully prepared an individual who will bother him and not allow him to rest so that God will move and show mercy on their behalf. If you haven't caught it already, let me be more direct. Perhaps the Lord himself, perhaps Yahweh, your God, has prepared you for just this time. This person that you know and love is in trouble. And he has prepared you out of his mercy so that you will pray for him or for her, your friend, your family member, your children, your nation, your church, others that you love and care about, this community. God in his mercy has prepared you for this time to intercede and to pray for them. With Moses and the Bible as our guide, here are five things that you and I can pray. The first prayer is this: O Lord, lead with your compassion. Lord, would you lead? Would you bring your compassion? The first thing Moses says is this. First of all, don't do this, God. Don't do this. Don't bring your justice. Don't bring this cutting off of these people. Don't destroy this people or cancel this covenant and start all over again with someone else, even if that someone else is me. Why does he say this? Why does Moses pray this? And what does Moses say to God so that God would be merciful? First of all, he says, okay, the Egyptians are going to hear what has happened. They're going to hear about it, and your reputation among the nations, really, all of this will go down, seriously go down, because they're going to think that you are an unfaithful and inconsistent God. So the second reason would be that why you need to do this, God, is and lead with compassion here and now, is because you should remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. All these people that you see, all these people are doing whatever it is that they're doing, because at this point in chapter 32, Moses doesn't know yet what is happening. All that you're seeing and all of this disobedience and all of this rebellion and all this stiff-neckedness, not a word, but I just made it up. All that you're seeing, This is what happens. This is the children. These are the descendants of the people to whom you have made great promises. Keep your promises, O God. Keep your promises to them. And that's what Moses is doing. He's asking Yahweh to change, not to change what he said that he was going to do in this moment, but to remain faithful and do what he would said he would do in the past. There's a deeper promise. There's a deeper revelation of your character going on, God. And here is the moment and the time for us and for you to lead in compassion and bring your compassion. In other words, what Moses is saying to God is, Lord, when you signed up in his intercession, Lord, when you signed up to work with us, this is what you signed up for. This very kind of thing. This is us, God. This is what people are like. You know that. This is what we can do. We can really mess up. We can really get ourselves into some very deep trouble. And you knew it. You know us. And you know what you're dealing with. And you know that what we need from you is your compassion and your merciful and your mercy. God, you are compassionate. God, Moses would pray and intercede. You are merciful. God, you want to be merciful and you want to be compassionate. You want to lead with mercy and you want to lead with compassion. Sometimes the very first thing or the thing that we can pray first, as Moses prayed first, is to ask God, Lord, lead with your compassion here. Show us your mercy here. Compassion is that deep emotion. God himself describes himself as a compassionate God. He says, in again, chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, that he is compassionate. And he is compassionate. And as Moses is praying, and as you're praying for your family or for your community that's in trouble, for your nation that's in trouble, we are interceding for God to lead with compassion, because he is compassionate. And it makes me think of a story from the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, right? And Jonah is called by God to go and to preach and tell them about him so that the people will turn away from their sin. Why? Because God wants to be compassionate and merciful to the people of Nineveh. Now, the thing is that if you know this story, you know, Jonah doesn't want to go because, all right, you know, the Ninevites are Jonah's people, and Jonah's from Israel. They are our natural and national enemy. These people are horrible. They are enemies. They're brutal. They are unkind. And I mean, they're just, no, they don't deserve any mercy. They don't deserve your compassion, God. And I'm not going to go. I'm not going to tell them this. What if they do turn from their wicked ways? No, I'm not going. And you know the story. He goes the opposite direction. There's a big fish that's involved. Jonah is thrown up onto the seashore. He does go to the city. He reluctantly tells them about this God, the God who's compassionate and merciful and gracious and long-suffering, yeah, that God, and they repent. They actually turn from their sin. In Jonah chapter 4, this is what Jonah says. I knew, this is why I didn't want to go. I knew that you are a gracious God and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sin and calamity. Now, Lord, take my life away from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. God is compassionate. It's a deep emotion. The word compassion is often used in the Bible to describe the emotions that a mother would feel toward her child. Moved like a mother for her child, God is moved toward us. It's an action of a caring mother motivated by these feelings of a mother's love or any parent's love for their child. This is a prayer that's being prayed by someone who is concerned, by someone else, another individual, a family member, a friend, our children, our parents, our communities. God, oh Lord, I'm interceding on their behalf. Would you show them mercy? Would you shower your compassion on them? Do not forget your deep love for my small group. Do not forget your deep love for my nation. Do not forget your deep love for my children, my children. You are a God who is just and holds each of us accountable for our choices in every generation. That's true. And you are a God who is looking for every opportunity to show mercy and to be gracious. Oh Lord, would you lead in this today and with them? Second prayer you can pray. Oh Lord, come, and oh Lord, count me in as one of them. Moses went back to the Lord and said, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book that you have written. This is a prayer where Moses has come to intercede, and he is willing, not only willing, but recognizes that I stand with them as well. These are my people, God. I stand with them. If I have found favor in your eyes, Moses said, then let the Lord go with us, although it is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness, he says. He uses the plural. He puts himself into the situation, into the circumstance. He puts himself into the trouble. And he says, take us as your inheritance. What is Moses doing? Moses is interceding the way intercession is meant to be. He has put himself into the situation. He has put himself in a situation where he can now count me in as those who are troubled. Oh God, count me among them, for I am among them. Moses intercedes and prays like Nehemiah prayed for his people, the way Daniel prayed for his people. He identifies with the struggle of his people. Forgive our sins, he says. Forgive us, he says. We are your inheritance. The Apostle Paul would do something similar. Paul would pray for his own people in Romans chapter 11, and he would pray, these are my people. Oh God, save my people. Take my life, if you will, but save my people. He would also do the same for the new community of Jesus' people, the church. This is what he said in Colossians 1:24, interesting verse. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, Paul would write, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. What I want us to see here is this is the intercession of a spiritual leader. You know someone who's in trouble. Your church is in trouble. Your community is in trouble. Your family is in trouble. And this is you as the intercessor and the mediator, not standing apart, but entering in so that you might intercede and mediate from among them. This is not some kind of long distance prophecy. This is a prophetic prayer and prophetic intercession on the part of a spiritual leader. You are that leader praying and interceding and mediating before God. Lord, we are in trouble. There's a third thing you can pray. God, oh Lord, go with us. Go with us. There's movement going on here. This is not a static situation. There's movement all around here. They've been led up to this mountain. They've been on a journey that's led them to this place in this mountain. That journey has tragically brought them to tremendous trouble as they have broken commandments number 1 and 2. And God is angry. And his passion is on fire. There's movement. Now God is saying, as a result of the intercession of Moses, okay, I will forgive these people. I will continue my covenant partnership with them. And then he says, but I will not go with them. Moses' intercession and his mediation has been successful. God has relented. He said, God, be compassionate. I pray. God, be compassionate on them and be merciful. And God was. Moses said, count me among them. And God did. And now he prays. And God says, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to go with them. I'm going to send an angel. I'm going to send somebody else that will just represent me. And then Moses says, no, you can't. He continues to intercede. And this is what he prays. This is the third prayer. No, Lord, your glory has to go with us. We can't go with an angel. No, you have to go with us, or else the whole plan just falls apart. Because your presence is the only thing that separates us from the rest of the world and from the other nations. Going with us is the definition of the unique relationship that we have with you. You have to go with us. If you don't go with us, we are just like everyone else. You have to go with us to be with us in every turn. You have to go with us through every valley. We have to know that you're going to go with us through the next relationship or the next job. We have to know that you're going to go with us through the next defeat and the next victory. Oh God, oh Lord, third thing we can pray, Lord, go with us. Now we are identifying, we are in trouble. We've gotten ourselves in trouble. But would you, oh God, you've shown us your mercy. You've shown us your compassion. Would you go with us? Fourth thing we can pray, oh Lord, show me your glory. Moses, the intercessor, the one doing the praying, like you are the one doing the praying, now makes his fourth prayer of intercession about himself. Lord, I'm here. I'm interceding. I'm praying. I want to stand in this place. I want to stand in this gap on behalf of those that I love and I'm concerned about. And I want to keep on doing this. So show me, would you show me your glory? And this is a request, as I said, for the mediator, for the one who is praying. And that's you. And that's me. You're praying. You're concerned. Your family's in trouble and you know it. And you're concerned. And your concern has led you to pray and intercede. Your church is in trouble. You know it. Your people, your community, your city. And you're concerned, and so you're praying. Your friend, your co-worker. And out of your concern and out of your deep love, you are answering the call to intercede for them. You've asked God for mercy and compassion upon them. And you've asked God to relent, and he has, and he will. You've asked God to show his mercy to them, and this is what he has done. You have counted yourself. You're not some long distance intercessor. You are counted among them to stand with them. And now, as the one praying, you're praying, show me your mercy. About a year ago, I was doing some traveling. And I was by myself. I was doing this traveling, and I was by myself. And I was greatly concerned for someone that I love very much. And that first or second weekend, I don't remember now, that I was there as I was traveling, abroad. It was Sunday, and I came to a church, a gathering of Jesus people who had come together to worship. I didn't know anyone there. I was a stranger. I just knew that these were my brothers and sisters in Christ who would do what other Christians all over the world will do and would be doing on that first day of the week, would gather together to worship the Lord Jesus. I came in among them, and as I walked in among them, my heart was greatly troubled. I was greatly concerned. I'd been interceding for someone that I love very much, but no one knew that. And as we stood there that day as a community and as we worshiped together, they sang a song of worship that I had never heard before. And I sang along with the words for the first time. And this is what we sang. Here as we wait, we seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place, have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender, we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Here, not by power or not by might, but only by the cross, we come alive. Here we are undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Chains fall, fear bows. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Show us your glory. Show us your glory in wonder and surrender. I fall down. Show us your glory. Let my burning heart be holy ground. It was a beautiful moment. I was refilled with the Holy Spirit, and I thanked the Father because I had come into that place that day. No one else knew, but my heart was heavy with intercession and concern for someone that I love very much. I'd been talking to him. I'd been interceding for this person, for this situation, this person who was in trouble. I'd been talking to the Father, asking for compassion, asking for mercy. And I've asked God as the intercessor and mediator to show me his glory. And I walked into this room in a place I'd never been before. And I just worshiped along with all of my brothers and sisters in Christ and asked God to show me his glory. And he did. Here's the fifth thing we can pray. Oh, Lord, stay with us. Stay with us. Moses bowed down to the ground at once in worship. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Jesus would answer this prayer himself when he said in Matthew 28, I will go with you. I will be with you. I will stay with you to the ends of the earth, which is to say everywhere. And always. God, amazingly, as we see in this story and in other places as well, needs just one intercessor. God has arranged it so he needs only one. More than one is awesome, but he only needs one person. And when he has one of us interceding for our community, for our friend, for our workplace, because we are concerned, and that concern and that burden to pray and intercede is also an expression of his mercy. He's prepared you and me for such a time as this, for our people who are in trouble, and he will do it. What kind of God, Tim Mackey asks the question, what kind of God would relate to an intercessor, to the prayers of one person, and see those prayers and that mediation and that intercession make the difference? It is a God who is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loyal love, and who is faithful. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate mediator. Jesus is the ultimate intercessor. He has done this and is doing it even now before us. And at the same time, he invites you and I into this role as we relate to others who are in trouble. Perhaps you know someone. Perhaps you are troubled because of the trouble at the place that you work, or the community that you are part of. Perhaps God himself has led things and arranged things so that you would be that one who would pray as Moses prayed, who would intercede and mediate on behalf of others. Ask for God to show his compassion and mercy in this situation. Ask for God to be with us. Put yourself, ask for God to see you as one of us, one of them. Lord, here we are together in your presence. Ask for God to show you his glory so that you can keep on praying and interceding until something happens, until things change. Thanks be to God who has called us to prayer and to intercede. May he be your strength as you remain on your knees. Father, I pray and ask, oh God, that you would help us. All of us probably could say, I know someone who's in trouble. All of us could probably say, I am troubled because of the troubles of my group, of my people, of my friends. And I pray, God, that we would hear in this word the call to pray and to intercede and to mediate before heaven, to seek your face and ask you to do what we know that you want to do, to save many, to be faithful, to be gracious, and to be merciful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.